Immersion, immersive, a buzzword or trendsetter? That's the huge question we will ask ourselves today. And I don't have to explain immersion, I believe, but I will do it anyway.
it's nice that you say that because you have to write a really long list to explain immersion.
good pointing it out. But I think there are so many buzzwords all the time. Like, for example, dynamic pricing. It's the newest buzzword in our industry. We have immersion. We had... what else did we had? Like buzzwords in our industry. Virtual reality. It's not a buzzword.
It's not a buzzword. It's technology.
Yeah, it's a technology, but it feels like a buzzword and sometimes how people describe what VR can be.
I mean, the word experience is kind of buzzwordy because it's always not... Yeah, there's no... clear definition
of
it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing with immersive or immersion. But before hop deeply into this topic, firstly, welcome to How to Freizeitpark Abroad, the business podcast for leisure makers. My name is Stefan Burian. I'm a freelancing consultant for the three main topics of every themed attraction and leisure attraction: its operations, HR, and guest experience. And I consult in strategic decisions, expansions, process management. Wow, what kind of dialect was that? Management.
New words created yeah. here.
And I do also staff training for your employees, especially for those who are working with guests. And as you have heard already, I am not alone here. I have the lovely Liam Kreutschmann here as well.
Thank you for the introduction. And I just hopped in your little intro today, but I hope it's okay. And
sure.
I just took my chance to introduce myself in this kind of way. I'm Liam Kreutschmann, as you said. I'm working for Studio Magisch. This is an agency for organic marketing, which means PR, social media, and content marketing in special. And we do some marketing consultancies and produce content, try to bring journalists to attractions and suppliers as well. So these are the fields where I am working and consulting.
And in the past episode, we described the differences in operations and marketing, which are both of our expertises. sounds like a
Let's
sickness.
Say profession.
Oh, I have expertises. our professions, and we both realized a couple of years ago when we recorded an episode for How to Freizeitpark for my German show that operations and marketing are closer to each other than some may realize. And since then, we are working together. We've become very close friends, and we did some research. And I will use this opportunity to use that research we did last year in 2024 in the UK, because, and not only the UK, also in the Netherlands, because it comes to immersive attractions.
Ooh, that's amazing, because...
No, it's not amazing, it's immersive.
Oh, okay, it's maybe both, because there's some attractions to play with
immersive.
These words as well. So,
amazing or immersive.
Yeah, we just travel around from time to time and look for new interesting concepts for attractions, and we are always like... impressed how many interpretations of the word immersive they are. And that's why we came to the point. What's immersive? It's an empty buzzword. Is there something behind it? That's why we're talking here.
Yes, and there are so many answers to this simple question, because it can just put your expectation management to the rooftops and you will realize, oh, it's not immersive. It's just, a vinyled wall. You know, there are just colorful painted walls around us and a little bit of music. That is this immersive? I don't know. But small definition, I have Googled about the word immersive or immersion. And the definition is seeming to surround the audience, player, etc. so that they feel completely involved in something like an immersive theatrical experience. And of course, we don't have to talk about Disney and Universal, because they somehow have... brought immersion to our attraction life to our industry, because when they, for example, when Universal built the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, or Galaxy's Edge at Disney, Avatar, Pandora, you can see that they really mastered the art of immersion, that you have like really this surrounding, that you're in it, and you can be part of this artificial world with all its meanings, physics, laws, etc. So you can drink butterbeer in Hogsmeade, you can fly on a blue thingy.
Is it a dragon?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a dragon?
What's the real word for them?
I don't really know. It's remember. Like an avatar bird, I don't know. I've really never been to Pandora, as you can see. Let me
Google that for you.
just Google it quickly. But there's also live entertainment in this immersive world, and especially in London. I don't know why in London, but the UK has brought immersion to theatrical experiences, and there's one group which is called Punch Drunk, who are very famous for their immersive theatrical experiences. There are also some location-based entertainment attractions, which are fully dedicated to this world this definition of immersion. In 2008, in an empty bowling alley, there was a huge opening, which I haven't been to, and I really adore what they're doing. Meow Wolf in Santa Fe has opened, and really, in my opinion, changed everything, and on the same time nothing at all, because they really reinvented the whole location based entertainment, but
at least in one kind of way.
So yeah, and also in one city at that point, because nothing has happened afterwards. Nothing is a little bit overdramatic, but that not much has happened. In 2015, there's another huge opening, which was The Void in Utah. And The Void is VR, and I would describe VR as immersive. As a long-time VR player, I own a VR headset myself, and I really do like going into those games like Half-Life. For example, it was a great game on VR, but what The Void did was mixing it with real life elements. So you had like smell, you had like material textures around you that you really could feel. So if you are walking in your VR headset through sand, you had a proper sandy underground surface you worked on. Wind, water blasts. So it was really like really pulling it into it. And of course, there have been all those new openings of Meow Wolf. Recently, there was this new opening also in Utah, funny, of Dreamwalk Park. Mm-hmm. But that's the US market. And now we come to our own experience, because we are going to the European market. And it's not... It is colorful, I would say, but it's not that... There's still room for improvement, I do believe.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, like the interpretation in Europe of the word immersive might be different, because here are a lot of attraction who advertise themselves with the word immersion.
Sorry. Sorry, I had to laugh. But
I mean, it's like a personal interpretation, right? So you saw... you brought us the definition of it, and the definition is quite open. So to this definition, a lot of things could fit, right? And a lot of attraction could interpret this word different, and that's okay, I think.
It is okay, but is it like really necessary to promote everything as immersive? Like oh, we have this new immersive roller coaster, which is like... immersive in a way of you have never before. The world's tallest immersive attraction.
The interesting thing about the word immersion from a marketing perspective is that the word is not really not really known for a lot of people. And
true, yeah.
At the same time, so a lot of attractions keep using it. That's quite interesting, because usually we find words, or we try to find words that people understand, to build an expectation in their mind, and to build like a need to go there. And the word immersion is quite new. It's becoming more and more popular, not just in the leisure industry. So we see it more in games, for instance.
Yeah.
or like full movie experiences that like tend to be more immersive than like the usual cinemas, like IMAX, for instance, like use this word before.
That I is for stands for immersive.
Is this true?
I don't believe it. No. I was just making it up.
I actually don't know what the I means there. It's not like founded by Apple too, so I don't know. It's quite interesting that like a word is arising and it became a buzzword or trendsetter. Yeah, that's like the question that is not really well known. And when we see like the German market, for instance, we both are from Germany, say, we also see it there. It's more used. It's like an anglicism from time to time, but it's used more and more. I have no reason for that. The only explanation I would suggest is there's no other word we can use. There's no similar word out there that like describe the same thing. So that's why we keep using like a new word fancy a lot of word. People don't understand.
And a new fancy word we looked up in a dictionary and said, oh, that sounds nice, let's use that. Well, there's the German word ganzheitlich, which means holistic, which doesn't sound sexy at all. So of course
it's not the same also.
Is it? I do believe that, you know, if you have a holistic themed area which has like walls built up around you and you really are in it and you can't see the outside, could be described as holistic or fully themed environment. And that's something you can't really print on brochures or put on your website because it sounds not good.
Not at all.
But when you go to the German market, funny that you mentioned that is, the German market, when we go back to the definition of that complete seeming to surround the audience and those LBE attractions like Meow Wolf or Dreamwalk Park or The Void, there's nothing similar like that, especially in Germany.
Not like that, no, but other interpretations of it. So let's maybe give some examples. There are more and more, like the word is often used like in the museum speech. And so there are more and more museums that try to show something that is not the classic museum way. So the classic museum way, for instance, was like to watch like paintings or science things or something. So usually you have like a big explanation of the thing you can watch and
loads
can,
of words and text
can see you can see the things that is displayed. And now the approach is a bit different, to make an experience coming to another buzzword so that people feel more engaged, to feel more involved, to feel something, not just learn something.
That sounds like the people are completely emotionless and, oh, finally I can feel something. I go to that attraction.
That's like that, right?
I know. It was not intended. I do believe that. But that's another thing where I'm being annoyed about that word, because so like feeling something, getting emotional. Emotional is not a word that you can promote something, so you can't say, oh, we have this new emotional experience called The Last Pictures from Picasso. So it's not marketable on a point.
Not when you just show the picture, right? But
yeah.
When you have to find a different way to display the thing that Picasso once painted. For instance, there are more and more becoming a trend to have like this art experiences where you can like see the project mapping on walls. Yeah, don't be annoyed of it, but it's a different way to show a painting, right? Or to make... To display what the painter once wanted to show. So
yeah.
I try to avoid the word immersive all the time. You may see but see me looking for other words.
Yeah, I see Liam all the time just looking around the room to find new words.
There may be a synonym somewhere, I don't know. But there isn't that really. That's why it became a buzzword, right? So that's why it's so easy to use, and why
it does make sense.
Yeah,
but the reason is why I breathe so heavily when, as you describe the attraction, is from definition, it is a fully immersion attraction when you have like 360 project mapping, the floor, the walls, even I don't know, the roof. It might be immersive from the original definition, but when I try to define it for myself, and that's I think the biggest struggle I have with all those immersed marketeered attractions, is for me immersion is like, you know, really being in something that is physical. And I don't want to use that other buzzword, which is not coming out with a big bang, is digital. It's like, oh, I have a knot in my tongue already. It's physical and digital combined.
Yep.
Digital. So it might be immersive, 360 degree projection. Okay, I can reckon that. But I'm always thinking about Meow Wolf, Dreamwalk Park, Wake the Tiger in the UK.
Yep.
Yeah. Or even those stupid selfie museums, which I can understand why they do exist, but they are...
Is there a selfie museum who advertise like it, immersive?
Yeah, isn't it like the one we visited in the Netherlands?
I don't know.
I do believe
actually
that.
Don't know. But yeah.
Like, or one thing, the ice cream museum, which is very famous. It's like the very first selfie museum.
Mm-hmm.
And they describe themselves as an immersive experience to experience ice cream in a new way. And it's just a selfie museum with some free ice offered. So is that immersive?
Yeah, I mean, it's a personal thing if it's immersive or not. So there, you saw the definition. There's no clear definition. So
it is.
There's no level of that's how much it immerses yourself in the definition itself. So some people, for instance, coming to like the example I gave before with the immersive art experiences that are popping out everywhere and walk into Picasso's famous paintings, it's more immersive than going to the art museum and just watch the painting, of course, because you have like different experiences. You feel it everywhere. You see all around, see it different, you see it moving. So of course it's a higher level of immersive than just a painting. But maybe when you compare it to like exhibitions like Meow Wolf or Ether Tiger, etc., it's maybe a different level. And the approach is just different. And
yeah.
The problem I think that you have with the word immersive is that there's no definition. You like to have sometimes like more clearance. I mean, you're coming from operator side, right? You like, you love to have
facts. I need facts
and strict.
Keep it simple for me.
Strict protocol how things should work. In marketing, for instance, we always find ways, or we're looking for at least, we're looking for ways to communicate the essence of the attractions. And when the essence of the attraction is to show something immersive, mm-hmm. why not using the word? So there's no other word that describes sometimes. You can use like more abstract words. For instance, you have an enchanted room. So very abstract. What should this be, right? This can be everything,
okay,
as well.
Okay, good point.
You can say like you have a walkable picture.
Could ooh, I like that.
Could be everything as well. So
that's easy to understand. I can work with that. A walkable picture. You mean a room?
You see the problem. So when you
see
like synonyms or different approaches to explain like an immersive attraction without the word immersion, then you have troubles as well.
I think you are right. I'm struggling with the word immersive. When it's used in a proper sense, you know, like immersive attraction, immersive theater, I wouldn't say that theatrical experiences is immersive because somebody's breaking the fourth wall.
No,
is that immersive?
That's not immersive. That's
but that's where I'm going to. You know, that's the
other way around. Demersive.
Oh wow, we created a new one. Demersive. When something is
trademark.
When something is really not pulling into you. What could be demersive? I have so many theme parks names right now on my list.
Myself as well. So
yeah, we skipped that. We skipped that part.
These are not theme parks. These are amusement parks. So big difference.
but is immersion or immersive now a trend? And when we look at how it is working in the European market, I wouldn't say it's not there yet. There are some really great attractions that work with immersion in a point of view of, or in, not in the point of view, but in terms of storytelling. So you have like an attraction that is telling a very emotional, deep story, and you are part of it in a way of that you are walking through rooms. Okay, so there is the walkable picture. That might be the Holy Moly trip we did in Breda. Yeah, in the Netherlands.
I thought of the same.
Yeah. Mm. There is something called Dolores. And if you have never heard of Dolores, I would highly recommend to you out there to just look it up. And you will not be disappointed because the web page is not giving you any information at all. And that's the big thing about Dolores is you don't know what this attraction is to the point you have been in it. And Dolores is like a adult grown-up playground, artsy, storytelling, immersive, hands-on, interactive exhibition.
Oh, you used the word by yourself.
But I was
on purpose.
On purpose, because I really felt immersed as we were visiting Dolores, or just recently the second installation in Utrecht, which is amazing. You know, it's like an experience that you have to experience with your whole body, and that's what I do believe is the explanation for or definition in my eyes. You know, of the word immersion or immersive, or Wake the Tiger in Bristol, which is honestly a clone of Meow Wolf. And they are also
concept wise,
yeah.
But they have like really new approaches here and there as well. Some things look very similar, some are new. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Good place to go to.
Yeah,
to
we had a great time. We can't say anything else. We had a very great time at that specific attraction we just mentioned. And when we look to Germany, there are not many LBEs. Zero to none, I would say, but we have like immersive.
Not like that, but yeah. No, we have like escape rooms that tend to be more immersive, more focused on storytelling, more focused on theming than on quests and puzzles. We have attractions in theme parks that are really, that are really immersive in the way like Universal or Disney would be. We have some, here and there, like hidden gems.
Yeah, and when you say that, I just realized that is like immersion has been found its way to the escape room industry, and on some smaller levels, maybe the wrong word, but into theme parks like Phantasialand with Klugheim or Ruckburg, or to Europa Park, but. Then you look around and there's a huge gap between it. There's some smaller artsy, very independent things like the Monster Cabinet, which is in Berlin, which is next to the Hackische Höfe, which is an absolute fever dream.
I think it's not meant to be immersive. It's meant to be like artsy, I think.
Yeah, it's artsy, but it's heavily immersive.
Do they use the word? I don't know.
No, they don't. Think so. I do believe they don't do marketing at all. So,
no, it's like.
But you have to really search for it. It's a very hidden gem. And of course, you have those theatrical experiences in Berlin as well. There's also this hidden, smaller artsy, immersive, self-explained immersive thing or self-described immersive attraction called The Hole, which is just a basement in under a bar, I believe, and there's just a hole in the wall, and there's a themed room with a small stage in it, and that's it. You should look it up. Das
Loch. Where is it?
In Berlin.
Okay.
Yeah. They invited me once. They have very, very weird opening times. But nevertheless, so we have those small things. And as you mentioned, but escape rooms, they really found that immersion can be a tool for them. And you are, from the marketing point of view, very into it. I'm a huge fan of escape rooms. I've seen a lot of escape rooms in Germany, and I can say there are immersive escape rooms, and there aren't a lot of non-immersive escape rooms.
Of course, the quality gap is huge, but also the same in every country. So there's sometimes, when you come to maybe theatrical industry, there are sometimes experiences that can fit the criteria of immersive when there is some kind of criteria, for instance, like crime dinner.
Oh,
it's quite immersive when you say that. Usually it's temporarily. So it's usually more like an event, like monthly or once a year or something a restaurant takes to attract more people. But of course, you can run it more professional, like build real sets there. It's kind of immersive as well. So
it is.
Sometimes you have like these theatrical influenced experiences here.
But when I come back to the escape room industry, and of course when we talk about immersion, as we have now realized, has many different definitions, can be realized in many different ways. But I also think that immersion is sometimes also of budget.
Of course.
So if you have no budget, how can you be immersive? I mean, of course, you don't have to build like Disney or Universal.
Work with light, maybe.
Sure, you can be minimalistic.
You can do immersive things on a very like low budget
basis. But you have to plan it. So you can't really...
You have to plan. Or you have like a great location where you have like an outstanding old location where you can bring people like to time journey back in the days or something. So sometimes you can be lucky, or you have like a really industrial place where you have like natural theming. You don't have to theme it. It's already there.
The mold on the wall, it's real. realistic.
Why not? For instance, why you can have like you can have really low budget things. I mean, the monster thing in Berlin, they don't have any budget at all, I think. So it's not really, it's not quite a business, I guess. It's more
like an accident.
Like an artist's dream.
It is. I think they did like animatronics for B movies in Germany, which are, I don't know, barely known by people. There's a famous movie called Captain Berlin. It's like a Berlin themed superhero. It's
in America, like in Berlin.
No, style. It's a German movie.
Yeah, I guess it was like an interpretation or like the influenced by Captain America. I think so.
But when we maybe step back, so I'm not angry anymore. I'm not disappointed anymore. I'm not annoyed anymore.
I can understand your annoyment in find a way. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think the problem you have, it's not the attractions behind that or the interpretation of the word. It's sometimes more the huge quality gap there is. And immersive can be something very shitty, something very trashy, something very under budget, and it can be like a high production, unbelievable experience as well. So that's why I think your problem is that the word doesn't really set expectations, and that's why there are attractions who wouldn't like fit your expectations, your personal expectations you have with the word. And what I see in marketing is that the huge majority of people don't have any expectations at all with this word, and that's why you can use it, because you're the one, you can set the expectations, and you set the bar how you want to jump.
Yeah.
Usually, the most people don't visit too many immersive attractions, just
so they don't have any clue.
Just to open like this category, so they know it's not about but having a clue, but about what to expect, right? So when you don't expect like something Meowulf like. It's fine when you just have a wall with some projection mapping and feel entertained by it, feel immersed by it, and have a good time. And this is the thing that counts in the end.
I mean, I have visited some of those attractions and I was some kind of entertained. I'm not really keen to visit like those project mapping shows. I'm not really into it because I have seen also some shitty ones. I have seen some great ones.
Yeah.
There's also a huge quality gap. But I wouldn't say, as you said, that sometimes they're under budget. I would see it from the other point of view. They are overpromised.
Yeah, because it's the same. That's the problem in marketing. Yeah, when you set like the expectation too high in the end, the visitors will not be satisfied. And
yeah.
You have like huge expectations from time to time, and some other guests as well. That's why you really have to focus on marketing. Don't oversell, don't overpromise.
Yeah.
Don't sell everything immersive in the end. So my favorite example here is I saw once an ad for an immersive claw machine.
What?
Yes, immersive claw machine.
Jesus. And
still to this day, I don't know what makes it immersive. There were some printings on it, but this is it. So some printings, we can be, I think, the same opinions will not make anything immersive or not.
Yeah. I'm coming back to the definition of the immersion. I was interviewing one artist from the German artist group Karma Neuer. They were responsible for the first Dolores location in Tilburg, and he said also that it's sometimes the different perspective you have on that word. Of course, they are looking very artsy on the word immersion, but he said also, you know, everything can be immersive. Even, I don't know, a shampoo can be immersive if you market it like an immersive shampoo because you smell the fruits from the rainforest. I don't know, then you feel like you're being in the rainforest, but because you're not, you're standing in your in your overpriced Berlin flat, and you're showering, and maybe that can be immersion too. So I will pull down a little bit the knob on my anger level on that, and I will be more open. But I will also be still interested in when do we see the very first like LBE immersive artsy fartsy attraction in Germany, like a location-based proper entertainment product that we have, like Dolores, like Wake the Tiger, or like Meowwolf. I would not expect that Meowwolf will ever announce, all right, we do our first step in Europe, a new market for us, and the first installation will be in Leipzig.
I mean, the question or Chemnitz, is,
I don't know.
Will we find the target group for these kind of attractions here? So I can't give a proper answer on that. I can just say I think there are countries that are more open to it, and there are countries that are need some more times for these kind of new trends. And Germany tend to be some years behind the regular leisure trends. This is not something like negative or something. It's just that things sometimes need a little longer to evolve here. And sometimes the trends may stay longer. This is fine as well, because in the end it's about making people happy, and when people here in this country are longer happy with these kind of attraction, it's fine. So I don't have an answer if this will be a proper place to be there, and I think it really varies in the kind of city you are. So
I mean, that's where our discussions when we visited the things in the Netherlands or in the UK, because I'm always asking why can't we have nice things here in Germany? Why do we have just a Fantasia Land in the Europa Park everybody is speaking about, but not like a, like, you know, the hidden gem everybody's like,
ooh. I mean the quality of attractions when it comes for amusement parks, for example, is outstanding in Germany. We have so many midway parks, smaller parks, that do incredible things when it comes to theming. It's not that this is like everywhere in the world like this. So we are kind of living in case of amusement parks on a very good level. So we're used to good stuff. So when it comes to like FECs or this kind of attraction, we may lack some creative ideas here and there. But I think the Netherlands is not far. So it's just 1 hour by car. So
for us. Yeah, we're living close to the border, of course.
It's for us, it's not far. So it's not really your problem. So in the end,
greetings to Bavaria.
We will see if there's maybe one day someone who brings the creativity, who brings the budget that is needed, and brings
some brave
courage to have.
That's a thing.
To try something new, and then we'll see if it works. I'm actually convinced that this will work in some places here as well.
Yeah.
Not everywhere, but there are a lot of cities where you can find the target group you need in the end.
Yeah, I do believe so. And I think also, I mean, immersion is also a thing where you need to think about your budget, especially when you look at those artsy attractions like Dolores, like Meowwolf, like Wake the Tiger, Dreamwalk Park. When you look at those attractions, they are heavily themed. They are heavily constructed, so they must go into something like a long planning phase, an intense construction phase. You need to maintain it. It will have huge operational costs. And the thing is, of course, you need to be financially successful at the end to run your attraction and not, I don't know, run it 3 years and then close it off because nobody's visiting you, because you can't explain your product. That's one thing. Or as Dolores just did it, they took their biggest disadvantage and made their huge marketing around it and said, okay, we can't explain it, so that's how we market it.
It's our message.
Yeah, that's our message. We are like everything and anything at all. And I do believe, as you already said, there is some room for improvement. There might be some spots in Germany where those attractions can work. We can be lucky that we have so many other great attractions as well. Not those mentioned theme parks, but also, yeah, smaller attractions that they're working on a high creative level and making the best with a small budget. But I do believe that also that our market could be more diverse, because when we have escape rooms, which are a huge thing in Germany, and they are getting even crazier with Dream Labs, for example, in the southeast of Germany, which is just insane what they did. They spent a huge amount of money for just two themed escape rooms, and they are located in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in the end, like, financially clever to do it like this, is another question.
not part of this discussion.
We don't gain anything in the end if you have like the best immersive attraction ever made and then you're bankrupt in like a year.
Yeah. So
this wouldn't work well as well.
Well, we will see how it will work out. But before we wrap it up, why, and when we look at now from a positive point of view, and we look very positively on that word, immersion can be a game changer, not only a buzzword. I mean, the title of this episode is "Fuck Immersive."
You have to be clickbaiting in some way. So,
haha, you fell for it. Here.
So, it's the same what you do with the word immersive, right? So, just
it's not a coincidence.
Just use some buzzwords and try to attract the attention of people.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I don't want to spread any hate about that word. I still want to be controversial about that word, because it can be misleading and over dramatic on some points. So maybe your sanitary installations can be immersive. I don't know, and I don't care. If
immersive sanitation, when we think about it, there are some in Europa Park, for example, at Karls.
Well,
the Strawberry World's there.
Or yesterday, the one I've sent you. With the rolling doors, you know, there's like a sci-fi themed bathroom, and there were like a huge red and green buttons, and you have to push a big green button in this spaceship like themed bathroom, and there's an electrical rolling door that rolls up, goes up, and it's like on a spaceship.
I mean, if this is worth the investment, in the end, we will see. But
people will talk about it.
yeah, they will. So just to wrap it up, in the end,
immersion is what's in your heart.
Immersion, what you like, what you make of it, right? Or what you want.
That sounds like a spiritual podcast right now.
A bit, yes, but yeah, like the find your old perspective. Way. Just use the word if it makes sense or not. So this is like the very, very basic explanation what to do in the end. Don't overmarket, don't oversell, but also don't underpromise in the end. So
yeah, also good point.
Why try to avoid the word on any cost when it simply makes sense sometimes?
Yeah, so just look at your attraction and I mean, if you want to describe your attraction as immersive because you have painted walls and matching lights, smell, and light to it, that's part of the explanation,
end,
right?
Yeah. And the end quality wins, and also fulfilling the expectations of the guests will win. So when the expectation of the guests is like that, it's fine to present it like that.
Yeah, so... stay tuned for the opening of Green Room with Lights and Smell in Essen in 2026, which will be our very first immersive installation about the color green.
Yeah, let's hope you find an empty bowling alley where you can open that, such well, like Meowulf, right?
You know, I know two empty bowling alleys here in the surroundings.
Yes, I know, we will not rent it.
Damn it. If that's happening or not, you will find out in the very next episode of the Freizeitpark. And if you find more about Liam Kreutzmann and his magical marketing, just hop into the show notes. All his contacts are there. And if you want to find out more about outstanding operations, then just look into the show notes for my contacts as well. Liam, thank you so much for the discussion, and see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.